Why didn't you bring up...
Yeah, it is.
Why didn't you bring up the quarterback when we were talking to Thomason?
Why didn't I?
Sean. I forgot. You guys were going to talk about
it. I just wanted to save it for your update. I get it. Magic number. Blah, 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 blah.
Threesome at three.
You got a few questions?
Hey, Bob. It's Mr. X.
Mr. X.
I have three questions for you. Good. Number one, is there something to read into the Wild's loss to the Avalanche? Or was it just one game and nothing more?
Well, they'd had success against that team in the past. You know, that's the thing. How about that? We've come to the point when they lose a game. Oh, my God, they lost. Because people have become so accustomed to them winning. It's this will be a game. They lose the game. Now they regroup and they come back strong the next one. That's how you have to look at it. But they did what they've done recently. They're back, not back. They're in the number one wild card spot. There's only a point ahead of Winnipeg, but still, the way they've been playing, they just keep moving. You think they're going to go after Chicago now? I don't think they're catching them. But it's not a bad idea to have the goal of catching Chicago.
And Dustin Byfuglien's now out for, I think, 4 to 6 weeks, or it was 2 to 4. I know there's a 4 in there, so Winnipeg might be in some big trouble. He means a lot to that team.
Well, and if you look at the Wild, look what happened to them when they were dealing with injuries and the inconsistency of the goaltending earlier in the year before they got Devan Dubnyk. And beyond that, look at all the illnesses they had. You know, they had flu, they had, just stomach viruses, they had scurvy,
the
rickets, mumps, everything. You know, so that they're actually, things have come together for them, and this is the time of the year you want it to come together. So if they can just get into one of the two wild card spots, which right now they got the top one, hold on to that, and they're going to be fine. I don't think that's a bad place to be. Hey, just in the playoffs is a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. It was nice to see Spurgeon back out there, too.
Well, here's the question, though. Would you rather see them in the second spot playing Nashville?
See, that's a really tough one. I would rather play Nashville or St. Louis as opposed to going out west and facing Anaheim in the first round. I just don't think we play that well in the West, and they have a team that can rack up goals quick.
Well, and I think, again, when you're not going to have the home ice advantage, Nashville's a lot easier to make that trip, too.
Yep.
You know, it's less wear and tear on you going back and forth to Nashville without home ice than going out to the West Coast, because your body clocks are screwed up by that, too. So I think Nashville, maybe they should angle toward getting that second wild card spot.
Yeah.
Now you don't want to, you get what you can get. You just keep playing and let, as Kirby Puckett used to say, let the chips fall where they may. Question two.
Number two, the 49ers contacted the Vikings about Adrian Peterson. Is San Francisco a legitimate suitor for Adrian Peterson?
I'd say anybody that contacted the Vikings become legitimate suitors. And him and Colin Kaepernick. It's not bad. I mean, that's a team that any place that Adrian Peterson goes, I think the knee jerk by people in the media is going to say, well, they become a Super Bowl favorite. You know, but I don't really think that. I think they have a lot of other issues they need to address in San Francisco. They are. The retirement.
Patrick Willis and Justin Smith are most likely going to announce their retirements tomorrow afternoon.
Harbaugh got out at a good time.
Yeah, Harbaugh's
not
gone.
Not by his choice necessarily, but
Crabtree's not coming back. The Frank Gore, he's gone to Philly.
For years they've been saying he's done.
Yeah, he always still shows up.
But he'll be rejuvenated. Actually, in Philly, the type of offense they run, he could flourish in that because he'll have a lot of opportunities to catch the ball. So that's not too bad at all. I don't know that. I don't recall that being on AP's list. However, it doesn't matter what list you're on.
Yeah.
You can be traded. Doesn't matter where you want to go. If they're going to trade you, they're going to trade you. Then you have to decide if you're going to play. And if you don't play, then all this, pot stirring he's been doing about complaining, it seems kind of odd because he wants to play, he claims.
We play the Niners this year, so he'd get the opportunity to come back.
He'd get the opportunity to trounce them. So there. I don't know what's going to happen. Honestly, we all have our thoughts on what will happen. I think that the Vikings would be foolish not to entertain or take phone calls and see what you get offered.
Yeah.
If you can get a one and a three or a one and a four, I think you have to really consider it. For a guy who's going to turn 30 years old, you turn the page and get something good.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. Let me take a quick look here.
If anybody says first rounder, my ears, I'm open. I'm listening to it.
Well, let me just take a quick look. How far down is San Francisco? Do they have a first-round pick this year? They should, right? Here, they're 15th. Tell you what, you go 11-15. That's pretty good.
I'll take it.
And if you wanted to, you bundle it and you can move up.
You get Devontae Parker.
I wouldn't even bundle
Shaq
it. You know
Thompson
what?
At 15.
That ain't bad. Although in this mock draft I'm looking at, Shaq Thompson's not even in the first round. I'll tell you a better way to go. And he wouldn't. They'd never go offense. Take Devontae Parker and you take Max Williams. Although Max, you get another tight end, you get a hell of a wide receiver. Boom, you're done. All you need is a left tackle.
That's it?
Put it this way, you can, because you can't count on Khalil. Then you're good on offense, defense you need to build, but that's what they got free agency for.
That's why they got Mike Zimmer.
He'll build them just with his coaching ability alone will build that team. What else you got there, young feller?
And finally, will the Gophers men win one game in the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah, I think they get a shot at one because they'll play another crap team in the first round.
They're playing Rutgers in the first round, and then the winner of that game goes on to take on Ohio State.
You know, it doesn't really matter anymore. They're going to wind up. They'll find a way. They're defending champions. They'll go to the NIT. They're never going to make a run through the tournament. They'd have to win it to get into the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to happen. So it doesn't matter if they win or lose.
Playing for pride, though. It's been a very disappointing year pick up a win over Rutgers and advance to another day of play in the Big Ten tournament would mean something, wouldn't it?
Nah, but maybe they want to just, save themselves for the big NIT run again. Yeah.
Could be.
It seems it's just a team that it's had a very disappointing season, and it's a learning curve for both the coach and his players. And if you're a Gopher fan, you have to hope that the coach learns quite a bit from this year. Because earlier in the year, I mean, they had a lot of close games that they lost in the Big Ten, and it wasn't all on his players.
We'll see what those young guys coming back, Nate Mason and Gaston Diaidu and Bakari Konate, see what they bring to the table.
I hope they bring a pronunciation guide.
Yeah.
Because some people are going to be struggling with some of these names. Anyway, we'll take ourselves a quick break. Got a little Monday meltdown coming up. We go into the vault, pick some of the great meltdowns. You want to call in and you can pick out a line from it if you want and try to imitate it, 651-989-9105. We also are going to be talking. I want to talk to you about, I'm going to go back to the draft after we do that, and we're going to talk to Jim Suhan, too. I believe he's still in Florida. Didn't he say not coming back till tomorrow, I think?
Yeah, I think it's tomorrow.
Okay. We'll talk to him, too. We got a little baseball trivia contest for you coming up to close the show. 651-989-9105. Put that number aside because you want to use it. You know, we could go everybody's a winner in that one. We'll give a prize to everyone who competes. How's that? Because we got three prizes. Well, three, nobody's a loser in this next trivia contest we're going to do. But right now, we're going to come right back. One of the great meltdowns of all time. You don't want to miss it.
The Bob Sansevier Show. Only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Just save that for somebody's good walk-up, talk-up music. All you're using that for is for a Monday meltdown.
It's good.
It's good, though. You're getting better at this. You really sucked when you started, but you're getting a lot better at it.
Well, I think I'm always good.
Well, you keep thinking that way. That's a good way to think. I took a look at Facebook during the break, and it's very nice of my wife. She puts, listening right now to the best in the business, the Bob Sansevier Show, want to find the ticket. I would hope she would think that way. So, thank you for that.
She's sucking up. She's trying to get a.
I don't know what you know. What that's probably right. What is she trying to get?
Some ulterior motive here.
Says she wants something because she's never that nice.
Inconceivable.
Well, okay. Better say she's that nice, or I won't get anywhere. The young lady in the other room is looking aghast, wondering what trouble I'm getting myself into. By the way, it's full disclosure that my daughter Samantha has been answering the phones for us. It's several months now, right? A couple of days a week. We have a couple of Sams. Sam Ekstrom, Sam Sansevier answer. So if you call in today, Sam, my Sam, I consider both of them my Sams, but my daughter, Samantha, will answer the phone, 651-989-9105. If you want to call and chat with her, mind your P's and Q's, because I'm not going to put up with any bad talk. And but if you want to weigh in on and give us your favorite meltdown of all time, I'd love to hear what you like, because young Hellboy here will share it with you. He'll every week we do a Monday meltdown, and he'll put that into the list of things to do. 651-989-9105 is the number to call. Let's hear today's meltdown.
Did you consider Brett for Miller with the bases loaded in the seventh?
No, no. Don't ask me all these stupid ass questions. No. In the all these stupid ass questions every night.
Find the I hit Brett for Miller. Miller signed the game. He's playing against left and pitchers. Brett is not playing against left and pitchers. Find the bad bat for Miller. You think I'm a goddamn fool? I'm tired of all these ass questions every night. And stay out here asking all these dumb ass questions. Stupid. Ask me that stupid ass shit every motherfucking night. Stupid ass. I'm not taking no shit off. You guys are not taking no shit off the players. I'm sick and tired. I'm fed up with every thing. No shit from you guys. No shit from you players. And they can do any thing they want to do. I'm sick and tired of all this. Now, put that in your pipe and smoke.
And there's the cherry on top.
That's
right, the
put in your blanking pipe and smoke it. He was the manager of the Royals from 91 to 94, which is what that's from. Also, the Devil Rays from 2001 to 2002. But, man, that was pretty good. But, you know, you get the feeling there are some managers and coaches, you could have asked them, hey, what'd you have for dinner? How was it? And they would just go off. They're just itching to go off. And I got a feeling that Hal McCray was itching to go off on that one.
It was really interesting because it happened in his office, and he kicked the reporters
flinging
out.
Things.
And he was throwing things all over. And even one of the guys that comes out, it looked like he had a cut on the side of his head, so he may have gotten smacked
by something. Oh, that's pretty good. But, you know, that's one of the better ones, but you don't really hear that much about Hal McRae because he wasn't a long time. Usually you're hearing about the long time manager, or around here, you know, Jerry Burns and the little bit of the tirades that he's had. He's had a few of them. Some of the best ones were never caught on tape that he had, so people missed out on some pretty darn good ones because he was, of all the people I covered, coaches and managers, I liked, I mean, a lot of them were likable guys. I mean, I liked Ron Gardenhire, I liked Tom Kelly. You know, just you can go team to team. There's a lot of guys that I like, but no one touches Jerry Burns. He was the best coach for if you're a media member to deal with. Just because, well, I really like the guy. He's a likable guy, but he also, I knew the hot buttons. Maybe not to that extent, the Hal McRae or people have heard the ones we played many times on Jerry Burns. But his hot buttons were quarterback controversy, Herschel Walker, and killer instinct, killer instinct. If you brought up any one of those things, he would just go off on it. And if it was a slow news day, I often did. Because throughout his tenure, there was always some sort of a quarterback controversy. The biggest one was Tommy Kramer or Wade Wilson. Wade Wilson or Tommy Kramer. And ultimately, when they went to the 87 playoffs, when they had that nice run, when they basically, well, not a nice run, they went to the NFC Championship game before losing to Washington. That was the big story. Would it be TK or Wade Wilson? And he decided to go with Wilson. And that was, I mean, that run they had, they beat New Orleans and then they beat San Francisco. They crushed those teams. That was the most fun I've had covering a team, too, because that was a strike year. They had to overcome. They would have had, probably would have had the best record in football, or one of the best records in football, had it not been that they had to use replacement players, because they lost all three. Mike Lynn, to his credit, didn't care. He didn't try to assemble a team of good players. He just took what he could get off the street, and that's what they had. And Birdsey hated coaching these guys, because he knew his guys were coming back, and he was not going to invest anything emotionally into these replacement players. And that was also, that was the fall of the Twins' first World Series run. While the replacement players were playing, they were winning the World Series. So around here, people really didn't care a great deal. And then all of a sudden, the postseason starts. They go down to New Orleans and just trounce them. Anthony Carter was phenomenal. He was he had great returns. He was great on receptions. Same thing. He was terrific against San Francisco. And then they go to Washington, and they lost a little bit of the steam, but they still had a chance to win the game late. And Darren Nelson gotten away. It's almost like, remember the Brandon Bostic thing, what happened? Mm-hmm. The onside kick, he never should have touched the ball. It should have gone instead. You know, it should have went to the wide receiver behind him.
Yep.
Jordy Nelson. Jordy. Well, Darren Nelson thought the ball was for him, but right behind him was Anthony Carter, the intended receiver. Darren couldn't catch the ball, and AC never had a chance, and they wind up losing to Washington, which went on to win the Super Bowl, and they won. I think that's the year they won big over Denver, too.
It was Doug Williams?
Doug Williams, yep.
It wasn't that the one where he put like 28 points up in the
second quarter. The phenomenal second quarter.
28 or 35.
Check. Make sure that that's the, I don't want to screw that up. Make sure the Washington Redskins in 87, that is the team where they just crushed. That was actually, was that still, that wasn't the Orange Crush team yet. That was the prior team. I think that was the team that might have gone in the 70s. But I believe that Washington Redskins team is the one that had a pretty easy time in the Super Bowl against, they had a replacement team. They actually did pretty good as a replacement team. Yeah, they beat the Broncos 42-10 in the Super Bowl. That would have been the Vikings. They would have crushed them, too. Because they had a... That's the team I think that they had. They were in that that wheelhouse where they were sending 10-11 guys to the Pro Bowl. They had a great defense. That front line, Keith Millard. You had Millard. You had Chris Dolman, who's in the Hall of Fame. You did not yet had you didn't have yet Johnny Randall, but you did have Henry Thomas, and you had Al Noga, and then they had a pretty good core of linebackers too. Studwell was still on that team; he was your middle linebacker. There were players on that team. Carl Lee was the one of the mainstays in the secondary, and you had Anthony Carter, who was at the time the two best receivers in football were Anthony Carter and a young Jerry Rice, who was just bursting on the scene. He came in a year or two earlier. But it was Anthony Carter and him. They were the two guys. Let's see who do we have there. Hello? It's
Shane.
Shane, hey, how you doing?
How are you?
Good. What's going on, my friend?
Say, you wanted some meltdowns, and two of them came to mind. I'm going to need your help remembering exactly who the second one was.
Good.
But, Bobby Knight throwing on a chair on the court?
Absolutely.
I didn't watch that live, but that's got to be up there. And then I don't know who it was in college basketball just in the last few years who got actually fired from his job because a video came out about him screaming at his players during practice. Do you remember that?
There have been a few guys. I'm trying to think which one you're talking about, though.
It was really bad. A video came out about him going off on...
Oh, that was the Rutgers guy, right?
Yeah, I believe it. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, because that was really recently. What was his name?
I cannot remember that. I just remember seeing a roommate sent me a video one time. I remember seeing that video and saying, well, that guy just got fired.
Fred Hill.
Yeah,
is that who you're talking about?
Sounds right. I wouldn't know it even if you said it, but I got to get going. I just want to throw those in there.
Or was it Mike Rice?
Neither of them are ringing a bell, Bob. I apologize.
Yeah, I think it might have been. That would have been 2013 Rice. Is when he was like, oh, Mike Rice.
I just found it. Yeah, it was Rice.
Yeah, if that's one where he just blew up at practice.
I'm sorry. I came across, I looked at it, and it, what the hell is it?
Bobby Knight throwing a chair on the floor, that's got to be one of the...
Was that the one in Puerto Rico?
He
got in trouble for something, He got in trouble for something that was related to in Puerto Rico. Let me just tell you, this Fred Hill thing, the reason I saw that, men's head basketball, this goes back to 2010, basketball coach Fred Hill reportedly being let go by Rutgers. According to blah, 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 the incident that is reportedly leading to the firing happened at the conclusion of the Pitt-Rutgers baseball game. His father was the longtime coach of the baseball team, and he went off there for some reason. But that's weird.
No, that's not what I'm...
No, I know. Mike Rice is the one you're talking about, but I just came across the Fred Hill one was another one, but Fred Hill was fired as basketball coach for something he did with the baseball team. You're talking about Mike Rice. Mike Rice's tirade is the one that that you're talking about.
Yeah, the video at practice. I was never supposed to get out. Yep, yeah, that was...
He was shoving, grabbing, and throwing balls at players. Well, you talked before about the cherry on top.
Yeah.
Well, this one, I mean, he was shoving, grabbing, throwing balls at players, using gay slurs during practice. He just pulled everything out of his whatever stupid arsenal he had going.
Yeah, Bob, I remember watching that video, and sometimes I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but I remember watching that video and some of the stuff he was saying, and there was no doubt about it. He was getting canned the next day.
Yeah, and you were right. You were absolutely right. Well, thanks a lot, Shane. Hey, Shane.
Thanks. Have a good
day. All right, what do you think of your team?
The Wolvies?
Yeah, your Wolvies.
Oh, they're good. They got banged up a little bit over the weekend,
Shane,
they're looking good. I just wish they would have been healthy all year.
Well, Shane, you know what? Call us tomorrow. Check in on them. Call early. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow, Shane. Thanks.
Bye.
Shane, our listener correspondent for the Timberwolves. You know what? Let's take a quick break. We're going to talk when we get back. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, suhanunfiltered.com. I talked to him about his last full day at spring training and what's going on there and elsewhere in a minute. You know, it seems like it's been longer, but it's a long time since we last had our regular 3:30 guests on. We weren't on last Thursday and Friday because of the state hockey tournament. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com, where you can find his podcast. Jim, it's been, seems like, months.
I miss you, Bob.
Miss you, too. And I'll tell you what you're going to miss as of tomorrow, spring training. You're leaving tomorrow, right? Or did you extend it?
No, I'm packing now. I'm leaving early tomorrow morning. I've stayed down here longer than I usually do, and I'm glad I did. It's been a really boring camp the last 4 years or so. It's just been dead, no real personality. The personalities that are worthwhile in that clubhouse are kind of quiet and reserved, like Perkins and Dozier. Tell you what, man, bringing having Minkiewicz, Hunter, Guardado all back in camp, having a different manager, having a little more active coaching staff has changed everything as far as just the feeling around camp. I don't know how much that translates into wins, but it certainly felt a lot better this spring.
Well, it livens things up, and it does make it more fun, especially, well, those guys have been, they're great personalities. You have great relationships with all of them.
Yeah, I covered them all as young players. And the funny thing is I butted heads with most of them when they were young players, and we kind of figured out, both parties figured out the other wasn't all that evil. And, when you cover somebody, you have a disagreement and you find a way to solve it, you usually end up with a much better relationship than somebody you just kind of get along with on a service level all along.
Well, it took a little while, but the only guy who threatened to kill me and I actually believed it was Keith Millard, and we got along quite well after that. Not immediately after that, but, you know, as his career went on, because he wasn't a bad guy. He just, let's just say he had bouts of rage for a while there.
Yeah, just mysterious. No, there couldn't be any possible discernible reason for those bouts of rage. Just random. And I had the same relationship with Dolman. Dolman threatened to kill me, and then the second time he came back, he would call me over and tell me, like, what wines to drink. I had to tell him, I'm a sports writer. I can't afford wine, Chris. Just, you know, like, get a juice box. Tell me what juice box I should order.
You know, the great thing, and I think we've talked about it. Maybe it was on the podcast. It might have been here, but he was the only guy who would come to work with a briefcase.
Yeah, and then they stole it from him one day to see what was in there. It was an apple and a newspaper.
Yeah, he brought his lunch.
Yeah. An apple, a brief, but he wanted it to look cool. That was Chris, man. He wanted it to look. He wanted to have a nice apple carrier.
Well, I asked him about why the brief. He goes, because I'm going to work. This is my business. but every player. Well, I mean, the fact that one of them stole it tells you what they thought of it. It's just, you know, somebody probably gave it to him as a present. Hey, Chris, they didn't know what he was doing. Probably thought he was getting a real job, and he just used it.
There's no way he got that as a gift. He went to the most expensive store in town and said, I need your most expensive briefcase because I'm a working man. I'm going to the office.
You've dealt with him, I'm sure, since he finished playing. He's been great to deal with. But he just, yeah. I mean, he just was a, talking to him sometimes, he was almost childlike.
Yes, and he was very selfish and very self-centered. And he just grew up later than most people.
Yeah.
But can't you see him walking into, like, a store in Minneapolis, you know, the briefcase store, and walk in and you know, the salesperson saying, you know, Chris, this one's on sale for only $1,000. But for you, you know, because I know you want to be important, $2,000. Chris saying, yeah, that sounds about right.
I'll do it.
I'll take two.
Hey, Jim, I'm not going to go off on it. Oh, actually, maybe we will go on a little tangent here. How many players is there a player in particular when he played that you could get them? There's a guy on the Vikings that anything I wanted to ask, I could get him to say anything because you just throw it out there and they'll just, yeah, that's right, that's right. So the guy you're facing this week, he's really will kill people, right? He's killed people, hasn't he? Oh, yeah, he's a killer,
Yeah. When Torrey Hunter was young, he would basically repeat your question in the form of a sentence and then just go on from there. So if you went up to Torrey, he was just so agreeable. He was such a nice guy. So you're going to say, so Torrey, you going to hit three home runs today? You know, I think I'm going to hit 3 home runs today, and then you have to figure out why, and then he'd give you a 5-minute quote on why I was going to hit 3 home runs that day.
And you were done for the day. You were good.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And then you rip him afterward for not getting a home run.
Exactly. We get him coming and going, Bob.
There's no way to be. Now, Jim, when you come back home, and I know you'll be getting more or back into the flow of your podcast, too, and I know you did quite a few down there, but is there anything you're going to take some time off, or are you going to go right back at it with the NFL free agency starting?
No, Wednesday I'm going to do Michael Russo with the local at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
And I just taped one with last couple I taped were Doug Minkiewicz and Tom Kelly and Rob Anthony and Terry Ryan. I'm going to disperse those as the month goes on and maybe later in the month kind of save a couple of them. But, yeah, by Friday I might be talking either NCAA Hoops or NFL for you to somebody.
My guess is that TK it had to be fun.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, learned very quickly when I covered him on a daily basis as a beat writer, you don't really interview TK. You just kind of get, you gently nudge the ball, and then he will take it wherever he's going to take it anyway. I mean,
yes.
You don't really ask Tom questions. You start a conversation and let him dominate it is what you do.
And you get great stuff out of it, too, when you're done.
Yeah, if you get out of the way. If you try to, the people who could not get along with Tom Kelly are those who presumed that they had as much baseball knowledge as he did, and therefore they were on an equal footing, and therefore they could have a back and forth. And that's when Tom decided to embarrass people. You pretty much have to say, okay, you know more about than I do, so what do you think? And then get out of the way and the avalanche of words starts.
Or show up covering the team wearing a suit. He didn't like that very much.
And luckily that was never one of my afflictions, wearing extra expensive clothes. So
no, but we both know a guy who did dress up, and he and TK never quite hit it off.
No, and but it really hurt that individual when one day the Twins are in Port Charlotte playing the Rangers in spring training, and one of the coaches noticed that the beat writer we're talking about was on the roof of the press box facing away from the ball game with one of those reflector things under his chin to even out his tan. That was pretty much the end of the relationship right there.
Well, you know what? He always had a nice tan. He always was well-coiffed.
Uniform, a very uniform tan, we might note.
Yeah, so that, honestly, we're not going to get into names here, but I always wondered why he wasted his, he was a good-looking guy. He should have went to TV with that tan, especially.
Absolutely, and maybe he is. Who knows? Maybe somewhere, he might be in the next Anchorman movie.
It's very possible. He definitely would fit. Now, you've been following him, but the Vikings, and they got free agency tomorrow, re-signing Tom Johnson, Cullen Leffler, and they're going after, there's that Clint Bowling, it looks like. He is a guard with Cincinnati, and if Zimmer wants him, I would think he'll lure him here if the money is right, because, you know, these guys know what Zimmer's all about from Cincinnati. So that would be a good thing for Charlie Johnson, a big upgrade there. And,
yes. I didn't expect the Vikings to go crazy in free agency. I don't think you win with free agency. I think you just kind of plug your lesser absences. You know, I think you need to get functional players through free agency. I think people who spend crazy big money in free agency usually regret it. I don't know. I would like to see them add some depth to the offensive line. I would like to see them add some maybe cornerback depth, but I really think you got to fix yourself through the draft. And I think that's the thing. That's the dual approach I like about what the Vikings are doing right now is they're trying, they want to be good right away, but they're doing things that might give them staying power. You know, building around a young quarterback, finding a good young receiver last year, in Johnson, let's face it, the real big move of the offseason will be either retaining Adrian Peterson or not retaining Adrian Peterson. And as far as I know, we still don't know how that's going to go. Maybe I missed something.
No, but there's one guy whose name has surfaced is a Stephen Ridley. He wants out of, I mean, he has something to prove, and it's unlikely he's going to stay in New England. And there's, we talked to Chris Thomason a little earlier ago from the other paper, and he just had something about Ridley that he could be a target if they do get rid of Peterson. But that would suggest that Ridley's not going to last long. That would mean something, if that were to happen, something with Peterson could happen this week.
Right.
I don't know that, well, maybe if they've decided they're going to move on, then it probably will, because the teams that want him, they're going to have to have the cap space to do it. And if they all get involved in free agency, they're going to be using up cap space. So I would not be surprised with something with Peterson. If it happens, it'll happen in the next few days.
Right. And, Adrian Peterson has
2,000-yard rushing season in the recent history, and we're not sure where he's going to end up. DeMarco Murray has the great season last year. We're still not sure if his own team is going to keep him. This is why the NFL is so fascinating, because the difference between star power and what actually wins games can be so vast.
As you're absolutely right. And I think one of them, and right, DeMarco Murray, I had heard this a few weeks ago, that the Colts were going to go hard after him because they need that top running back. But then does that mean Dallas becomes desperate for Peterson?
Right. I mean, I started saying it last November that there are a lot of routes by which Adrian Peterson could end up with the Cowboys, and I still believe that. Because what happens is we all sit around and say, well, what's rational? What's logical to happen? Well, stuff doesn't always follow logic.
No.
And Jerry Jones is exactly the kind of owner who would say, give me the overpriced kid, guy who beat his kid. That makes sense to me. You know, I mean, he's a great player, and he's a big name, and because Texas doesn't care if you beat your kids, and because Jerry doesn't mind spending money, he thinks he's going to give him entertainment value. So, and the other thing is, he'd be trading in a running back they ran into the ground last year for a guy who had most of last year off and who's a better back than the guy they ran into the ground last year. It does make some sense.
Well, and it's starting tomorrow. We're going to start finding out. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Now, Jim, if people went now, you had a lot of podcasts you've done. They not all have been posted, though, right? What's the one they'll find, the most recent one?
Glenn Perkins, I posted on Sunday, just a nice talk about his life in baseball, his future career, maybe in the Twins front office, his favorite moments in baseball, kind of just a nice, soft, pleasant one. And I think Dave St. Peter was the one before that. And then I have TK and Terry Ryan, Rob Anthony, Doug McCabe coming up really soon.
That's a great lineup. And find out again at SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, take care. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you know what? We are going to do a little bit of a baseball trivia contest. And we got great tickets, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. We're going to be giving away, among other things, a pair of tickets to the WCHA Final Five semifinals, games 1 and 2, Friday, March 20th at the X. We've got a pair of tickets to the Fabulous Armadillos and Eagles tribute band at the Medina this Saturday, the 14th. Also, a four-pack of tickets to see Running Aces March Comedy Show this Saturday with national headliner Michael Thorne. Everybody, we got three people we need. All three people will win. Tickets, one of these tickets I just mentioned. And also, we're going to have a very special guest join us. He was on the station. You were his producer, right?
Yeah, for a little bit.
Michael Knight's going to join us, too. We're going to talk to him. He's got some breaking news for us about a great basketball tournament. And he's going to tell us about that. But we want three callers, at least three, 651-989-9105. Start ringing that phone. A little baseball trivia, great questions, easy answers. We'll be right back.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show, Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Bip, bip, bip. They ready?
Yup.
Let's get right to it. Little baseball trivia contest. We got tickets on the line. The first prize, well, they're all good tickets, but the WCHA tournament next weekend. We're going to be joined by Michael Knight right after the contest. Contestant number one, are you ready, and who are you?
John from Northfield.
John from Northfield. You ready?
Yes, I am.
These are easy. First question, what hide was first used to cover baseballs in 1975? A, cowhide, B, pig bladder, or C, horsehide?
Can you say those one more time, please?
Cowhide, pig bladder, or horsehide?
The first one.
Cowhide.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you.
What baseball announcer said Pope Paul VI's death, quote, puts a damper on even a Yankees win? Was it A, Al Michaels, B, John Gordon, or C, Phil Rizzuto?
Phil Rizzuto.
You're 2 for 2. See, I told you these were easy. But we have a tiebreaker if someone else goes. You look like you're running the table here. What country's first U.S. Major League Baseball player was Chan Ho Park? Was it A, North Korea, B, South Korea, or C, Okinawa?
South Korea.
You are at least in a tiebreaker. Hold on.
Yes.
Contestant 2. He's happy. I like that. Who's contestant 2?
Eric from Burnsville.
Eric, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. All right. Here's your first question. Which city does not have one of the two oldest stadiums in Major League Baseball? Is it A, Boston, B, Detroit, or C, St. Louis?
Does not.
Does not have one of the two oldest.
St. Louis.
Ooh, we got 4 for 4 here. What shortstop holds the major league record for games played, assists, and double plays? A. Ozzie Smith, B. Derek Jeter, or C. Cal Ripken? Three pretty good ones there.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to script Cal Ripken.
Well, you won't be getting a WCHA, but everybody's a winner in this game. So don't feel bad. You're not done yet, though.
Okay,
What pitcher's 1.2 ERA in 1968 is the lowest in the majors in post-World War II play? A. Jim Cott, B. Bob Gibson, C. Mickey Lolich.
Bob Gibson.
You're 2 for 3. Hold on, you may get yours. You could still be the guy who gets his choice of the other two things. Contestant number three is whom?
Nate from Elk River.
Nate. You ready?
Yeah.
Here's your first one. Who was the last American League baseball player to win the Triple Crown in 1967? A. Mickey Mantle, C. Carl Yastrzemski, or C. Harmon Killebrew?
The Yaz.
You know your Yaz.
That's incorrect, though.
What are you talking about?
Miguel Cabrera did it in 2012.
Oops.
For the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, excuse me. 1967. Who was the American League baseball player to win the Triple Crown in 67?
Yeah,
okay,
that's correct.
Forget the last.
Well, he got it right.
He got it right. He was good. How many hits did Pittsburgh Pirates legend Roberto Clemente have when he died in a plane crash? A, 2,999, B, 3,000, or C, 3,001?
You were right when you said they were easy. That's B, 3,000.
Damn, you're good. Okay, tough guy. Here's your last one. See if you can go into the tiebreaker for the win. How many seasons saw Hank Aaron hit 50 or more home runs? A, 0, B, 5, or C, 8?
A, 0.
You're going into a tiebreaker. You're our first contestant on the line. The first contestant gets the choice. You want to go first or last?
John.
John, first or second?
I'll go first. I'll put the heat on him right away.
All right. Here's the question. How many seasons did Lou Gehrig play every inning of every game? How many times? He's the Iron Horse. How many seasons did he play every inning of every game?
No hint?
Oh. And he played. No, this is a tiebreaker. He has to have it.
Let me see.
We're talking about the Iron Horse here. Till Ripken came along, held a record
14.
For most. What's that?
14.
Okay, and who's our other contestant?
Nate.
Nate?
That's not right.
Well, oh, then, Nate, what's the answer?
I'm going to go with 16.
Oh, my God. The answer was one. One season he
What's
played every inning
people?
Of every game.
Closer, I get it, right?
That means
John gets it.
All right. Sam's going to take all your information, and now it is my distinct pleasure to reintroduce Michael Knight.
How about a fist pump, Bob? It's been a while.
It's been great, great seeing you, Michael.
I used to drink at the Iron Horse. Anybody remember the Iron Horse?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Now that lights wasn't it like well it was over by Golden Valley. Well, it was by where the station KQ
the
used to
station.
Be right.
Yeah,
you know it's like never have a cocktail there because trying to get back on the expressway is impossible.
It's a little dangerous too. Yep.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. So.
Now, you have I've been wanting to have you join us and you've been busy and you're gonna hopefully you can join us again. But this is big news.
Yeah, I'd like to try to get back on the show. You know how it is. It gets busy around here. We had a lot of stuff going on. And congratulations on having your show.
Thank you.
It's awesome stuff. Really good.
I appreciate it. So,
I heard you talking earlier about this, you know, some of these outrageous things that these coaches have gotten by with. And Jim Boeheim obviously has been a big topic of conversation with all the wins that he had. And I mentioned one to you that you had forgotten about.
You got to tell people. This is a great one.
The famous Bobby Knight one where he goes into the men's stall, takes care of business, wipes with his hand, and walks out and shows to his players and says, "This is what you're playing
he
like."
He did use toilet paper, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and did you mention the Connie Chung one? You know the Connie Chung one, right?
Which one was that?
In an interview with Connie Chung, who's an old time reporter.
Oh, remember,
she used to be an anchor. I think if rape is inevitable, you should just relax and enjoy it. That was what Bobby Knight got by with.
He took incredible heat for that and should have.
Yeah.
That was one of the building blocks when I started saying we got to get rid of him that hurt him. Now, you have this is something big, though, what you wanted to tell us about.
You know, I just kind of wanted to share this with you. And I just wanted to, my kid's playing on a basketball team. And I just want to say this, is that all of us are on Facebook now, right, Dave? And,
oh, yeah.
And you see everybody's kid's got a championship trophy. And we live in this participation era where everybody gets all this stuff, you know, and everything. And I'm happy for everybody's kids when they're playing in these tournaments and winning. And sometimes it's kind of hard to tell between teams that are participating and teams that are actually pretty good teams. But I was had to tell you this story. My son goes to this small Catholic school in St. Paul called St. Mark's.
Now, what you meant, the numbers are what's stunning.
Yes. And this is why I brought it up to you. And it wasn't something we planned to talk about it on the air. But when I mentioned the numbers to you, you were like, we got to talk about this. There are 17 boys in his eighth grade class.
The whole class. Not just in his
17 boys.
His class when he's with one teacher. This is the entire eighth grade.
The entire eighth grade has 17 boys in it, all right? They've got 10 of those boys that play basketball, okay? And they play in the A division.
Yep.
Which is kind of hard to believe. And last night they just played over at Creighton, and they just won the St. Paul City Championship.
With out of 17 kids, 10 of
they
them?
Got 10 of them.
And now you tell me, who else played in that league?
Yeah, I mean, there's a long history here. There's 40 teams in the league, okay?
Yep.
And you know, everybody, you know, St. Paul, you know, I'm a St. Paul guy, St. Paul neighborhood. Paul Molitor played it is the St. Paul Catholic Athletic Association. Joe Maurer, a lot of.
So pretty good.
I would be surprised if
it.
Dave Winfield, I mean, that kind of, you know, crowd played in this thing. So they win the A division yesterday at Creighton. So tonight they advance to play the Minneapolis champion.
It should be a hell of a game.
Okay, yeah.
So where do you have to go for that game? You'll be there, obviously.
Well, I just had the coach. By the way, they got a hell of a coach. Tim Gallagher is their coach. And I'm telling you, the level of basketball that we learned how to play at and the coaching level that these guys do such a great job with today, it's unbelievable. I mean, the offenses, these guys are running Big 12 and Big 10 offenses. And anyway, so tonight's game is the winner of the Minneapolis SSYO playing the winner of CAA.
I'm sorry. They don't know who they're playing yet. Those teams are playing face
tonight,
your team.
Mark Courtney is the director of the CAA. He's a really sharp guy. They run all this stuff. And so tonight we play.
Oh, you are playing tonight. All
we
right.
are playing tonight at 7:15. And I'm just trying to take a look at this and see whether I can get it right. Tonight's game, okay.
Well, you're facing a Minneapolis team for sure.
Well, there's four teams left, okay? We play a Minneapolis team, and then it'll be down. It's the final four, essentially, is what it's come down to. And what's kind of interesting about this, and again, I root for all kids and all these teams, and we've talked a lot about hockey and all that kind of stuff. Kind of neat to have these basketball tournaments that are going on right now. And this class over at St. Mark's has 10 players out of 17 boys
That's
in the
a
entire
great stat.
Class. And it's a possibility, Viking Dave, that they could win the whole thing.
Terrific.
And if they do, Bob, I'm going to be an absolute shameless parent.
Well, then you need to come in again and give us an update. And come in anyway. We're in our final few moments here. I want to thank everyone that joined us today. Thank you to Michael Knight for stopping by and joining us. And I hope you can come back again very soon. We're going to turn things over to the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. Stay with them until 7 bells. It's tomorrow we got a great show for you. We'll be talking to Colin Loeffler, who's signing a one-year deal with the Vikings. We'll have Marsh Hallberg. We got a great show. Tim Lammers will be with us. But anyway, thank you again for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground? Comes around.
Three signals strong. 105 The Ticket.